Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It is Dom time. 855-839-1210. You know what one of the biggest issues is going to be, and it's outside the Constitution. It's like the Constitution of Philadelphia. Will the NFL be allowed to play? Say they hold the season back to the end of September, whatever. If that doesn't happen, then that's going to be pretty amazing here in Pennsylvania. I want to see Wolfman Hack do that. But over the years, Wally Zimmelong has been there on any number of issues where people were being, probably the one that I remember the most was that girl over in the Philadelphia Public Schools who wore a Romney shirt, of all things, not a Trump shirt, to school when people were allowed to wear whatever they wanted on Fridays, a T-shirt, political stuff, got kicked out of the room, the whole thing, by the teacher and some of the staff there. There were protests, and while he was there on that issue and any number of other things, he's a very highly qualified attorney. On with us here, Wally Zimmelong, to talk. What are some of the constitutional issues that are in play here in a place like Pennsylvania, given this lockdown? He joins us on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Wally, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me on, Dom. It's always a pleasure to join you.
Well, Wally, I noticed before you, I wanted to give you one example. I saw a priest in Jersey, Dan and I were talking to yesterday, has filed a suit about the right to hold a mask, even following government, whatever regulations they want, his attorney on that. That's the one that seems to be the most prominent constitutional issue. But are you seeing other areas that you think are even more doable?
In Pennsylvania, Governor Wolf has a real problem on his hands with his waiver policy. And you need to understand, and your listeners need to understand, that as frustrating as they are, the general emergency powers of whether it be Governor Wolf or Governor Murphy are probably constitutional. And that's because they've been given broad powers under their respective state disaster and emergency statutes. And the courts have empowered them with certain police powers to protect the health, welfare, and safety of citizens. But the problem with the waiver policy in Pennsylvania is that it appears to be applied arbitrarily and unequally. It's arbitrary because what I understand is that two seemingly identical businesses, one has been granted a waiver and another one has been denied a waiver.
That's right.
And under the substantive due process clauses of the 5th and 14th Amendments, law can't be arbitrarily applied, and there has to be uniform standards by which all of us can conduct ourselves. Now, in the case of the Pennsylvania waivers, neither of those seems to be present. No one knows how the waiver policy was instituted, what standards against which applications for waivers were judged. And then we have found that two seemingly identical businesses have had different results. One business has been given a waiver and the other business has not been given a waiver. And there seems to be no reason or rationality upon which the law or the waiver policy is based. It brings up another issue. and another area of constitutional law, one that your listeners may be more familiar with, which is the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment.
Right.
And under the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment, the law needs to be uniformly applied in an identical way to people in identical situations. And again, to use the examples of Company A and Company B, if Company A is allowed to open under a waiver and is not deemed to be a vector of disease, Company B has to be allowed to open under a waiver because the government cannot show that Company B, if it conducts itself in the same manner as Company A, is any more likely to be a vector of disease than Company A. So Pennsylvania is a little different than New Jersey because of what I think is an ill-advised waiver policy. As you know, the waiver policy was abruptly shut down in early April when there was about 42,000 applications pending. My suspicion is a smart lawyer within the Commonwealth probably advised the governor's office that they had a constitutional problem on their hands. The problem for the governor now is that he can't put the genie back in the bottle. The constitutional violation has occurred. I think the other issue that the governor has here is one I think you recognize, Dom. It's a political one. When this list of companies that received waivers comes out, and it will come out eventually, sooner rather than later, if it shows that a significant number of the businesses that received waivers were donors to Governor Wolf or the Democratic Party or had some other form of political connections, look out. I mean, it's going to be the biggest political scandal this Commonwealth has ever seen.
Might even be illegal. Might even be that, I think, in addition to a political scandal. I mean, that crosses a line. I agree with you. Here, Wally, when this first started, I said to listeners, all right, you know, maybe something rough is happening there. If they correct it after initial mistakes, you got to give some birth in a crisis to that, say within a week. But this has been ongoing, and when he shut down the Right to Know office so that the media can't get at this, that leaves only one course of action, guys like you and other constitutionalists, to get a court to order them to do that. That's about the only thing that can happen now, right?
You're correct. Anytime the governor tries to sandbag a Right to Know request, that's not a good way to engender the public trust. And frankly, public trust in government officials and their edicts is at a paramount at this point. And if you have an erosion to the public trust here, it goes beyond the constitutional issues. The governor is going to undercut his ability to control a pandemic. Now, again, I want to focus on if the governor had simply shut everything down, as frustrating and difficult as that may be, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation at this point. But it's the waiver issue and the arbitrary way in which it was applied, the lack of uniform standards against which people's waivers were judged, and now this sandbagging of any attempt to find out, which should be something that should take about 5 minutes. It really should. There's an easy database to find this.
Exactly. And Wally, a couple of factoids. One, the Republican Scarnetti, his candy company, until public outrage for 3, 4, 5 days, I'd have to look it up, that had a waiver as an essential business. Wolf's former or somewhat former cabinet-making company is still online today, and we thought they were being shut down for the obvious reasons. So there's a lot of fodder here. The road, though, is not easy. We need someone like you with tremendous background resources and others to do this. Would the road have to go through first the Pennsylvania Supreme Court? Would it go that way?
No, because there is an allegation that Governor Wolf has violated rights enshrined in the United States Constitution. A case could be brought directly to federal court. We could file it in Philadelphia. You could file it in the Middle District out in Harrisburg or one of the Western districts out in Pennsylvania, depending on where someone lives. You would not have to go through the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, and you'd have a federal judge that would render an initial decision with oversight from the Third Circuit and ultimately the United States Supreme Court.
And Judge Napolitano, anticipating exactly what you said over the weekend on Fox News or Friday, Wally, said all it will take to get the ball rolling is one federal judge who sees it the way that we do on this, which is pretty clear. Now, there can be appeals, there can be a battle, but I would tell you, if a federal judge tells him to do this and he continues then to fight on this, you've got to think at some point this gets covered and people start to wreak some kind of political habit on Democrats that have been supporting this.
Well, I think a lawsuit would do a few things as it relates at least to Governor Wolf. Number one, it's something that you recognize, is this guy responds to pressure. This guy flip-flops in the face of opposition. A well-thought-out lawsuit where he feels he has exposure could get him to move the needle without ever getting a ruling from a federal judge. The other thing that it may do is galvanize public support and highlight some of the inequities of this waiver policy and his overall policy in controlling the spread of COVID-19. Broad-based public support is important. We need regular folks to get behind this effort and show that his arbitrary and unequal application of the waiver process harms regular folks. They can't be pigeonholed as fringe elements that are out there in camouflage and with firearms protesting at the Capitol like the opposition is doing now. As you and I both know, and as your listeners both know, his policies are affecting ordinary, hardworking Pennsylvanians.
Without a doubt. Wally, you've given us some hope and some things to build on today. So I want to thank you. Did you want to give your phone number or anything or no?
That's anyone that is interested in discussing any impacts that they may have suffered by these orders can reach me. The best way to do it by email, Wally, W-A-L-L-Y, at zimalonglaw.com. And I'll be sure to be in touch with anybody that contacts me. Thanks, Tom.
Well, it's Wally, and Zimalong is spelled Zimolong.
LAW.com. That's correct.
All right, Wally, thank you. Thanks very much for that.
Thanks so much, and thanks for having me on, Dom.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.